Our New Testament reading is taken from the Gospel according to John, reading from chapter 1, verses 29 to 42. Let us listen for God's word. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him, and I myself did not know him. But the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Amen. Amen. An Anglican friend of mine once told me with a straight face that they had sung a Baptist hymn at their church the previous Sunday. The hymn was "On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist's Cry." This was a joke. The hymn was about John the Baptist. That did not make it a Baptist hymn. John the Baptist was not, as some seem to think, the first of the Baptists. Baptists like us didn't appear until many hundreds of years after John. John is known as the Baptist, not because he belonged to a Baptist church, but because he baptized people in the Jordan River. It's worth the effort to sort this out, because John the Baptist is a very important person in the gospel story. That's not just because he's very famous for the sermons he preaches and the baptisms he does. John the Baptist is very important in the gospel story because he is the one who introduces Jesus to the world. With so many new people in our church these days, I really appreciate introductions. And I notice that many of you are very good at doing them. I'm very grateful for that. You're very good at coming to me and saying, "I want to introduce someone to you." You want to help me get to know a new person, someone I have never met before. An introduction is an important part of that. It helps start the conversation. It breaks the ice, as we say. John the Baptist has the very important job of introducing Jesus to people who do not know who he is. John has a lot of people who listen very closely to what he says. These people are his followers. When John speaks, they pay attention. But Jesus, at this moment, has no followers. He has never preached a sermon in public. He has never performed a miracle for people to see. He has never done anything that makes him stand out from the crowd. That's about to change in a big way. But so far, no one knows anything about him. No one knows who he is. It's John the Baptist's job to tell them. And as you might expect, John does this in his own unique way. John isn't all that worried about following the customs about how to introduce people. One day at the Jordan River, John sees Jesus and he just shouts out, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." That's quite an introduction. It may not be easy to understand what it means, but it's very clear that John is saying, pay attention to this man. This man is the one you really should be following. This man is the one who is going to change the world. This man is the one who is going to fulfill the plan of God. How does John know all this when nobody else seems to be aware of it? John explains that God spoke to him when Jesus was baptized. John saw the Spirit come down from heaven and remain on Jesus. And he heard God say, "The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." In other words, this man, John says, is the Son of God. In case people don't hear this introduction the first time, John repeats it the very next day. And this time he says it to two of his own followers. One of these followers is a man named Andrew. John points to Jesus and says to Andrew and his friend, "Look, the Lamb of God." So why is John using this name? Why is he calling Jesus the Lamb of God? This is the only place in the whole Bible where Jesus is actually called the Lamb of God. That makes it a little harder to know exactly what this name means. But John helps us by telling us that the Lamb of God is the one who takes away the sin of the world. That gives us a very big clue. When we are talking about a lamb that takes away sin, we are talking about something that has to do with sacrifice. In the Old Testament, you will find a lot of talk about sacrifice. A lot is said about how sins are forgiven through sacrifice. In the Old Testament period, there was a whole system for making sacrifices in the temple. Animals such as lambs were sacrificed in the temple so that the sin of the people could be taken away. It's hard for us to understand how this system of sacrifice worked to take away sin. It was quite complicated. But the basic idea was this. The stain of sin was somehow transferred onto the perfect lamb, and when that lamb was sacrificed, the sin was removed. Sacrifice was necessary because sin creates an ugly barrier between us and God. God is holy and pure. Sin is the very opposite of that. If we are going to be in the presence of God, we need something that is going to make us holy and pure. We need something that is going to take away our sin. In the temple, people sacrificed lambs and other animals so that the stain of sin could be taken away from them. But of course, this system had its limitations. As soon as one sacrifice was over, another one was needed. Every day, there was more sin that needed to be taken away. That meant another sacrifice, and then another, and another. It seemed to be an endless cycle of sin and sacrifice. But this was brought to a stop by the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. After the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, no other sacrifice was needed. As John the Baptist tells us, Jesus is that Lamb of God. Jesus is the one who takes away the sin of the world once and for all. It all happened on the day that we call Good Friday, the day when Jesus died on the cross. Jesus' death was a sacrifice for us. His death was a sacrifice for our sins. It was what the Old Testament had predicted. It was what the prophet Isaiah had talked about when he had said he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. This slaughter was a sacrifice for us. According to Isaiah, he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds, we are healed. There's an old story about a man who takes a trip to a city in Europe. While he's there, he takes a tour of the old town. As he walks around, he notices a building that has a very tall spire over it. When he gets closer to this building, he sees something unusual about two-thirds of the way up the wall. It's the stone figure of a lamb. The man stops one of the local people and asks them if they can explain why this figure of a lamb is on the wall. He's told that when the building was being built, one of the workers was in that place when he lost his balance and fell. The visitor asked, "Was the worker killed?" The man from the city said, "No, he wasn't. It was a miracle." When the worker's friends found him, they saw that he was shaken and badly bruised, but other than that, he was fine. It turned out that a farmer had been taking a flock of sheep to market, and when the worker fell, he had landed on the back of one of the lambs. The lamb was killed as a result, but its body broke the worker's fall and saved his life. The man in charge of the building was so amazed by this that he put the stone lamb on the wall so that the story would always be remembered. Jesus, the Lamb of God, died so that we might live. He sacrificed himself for us. He sacrificed himself on the cross. He paid the price so that our sin would be taken away. Sin is a serious thing. We should never take it lightly, because God never takes it lightly. Sin is an ugly barrier between us and God. But because Jesus is the Lamb of God, we can know that God forgives our sin. The sin that separates us from God is taken away, and we are made holy before God. God doesn't forgive our sin because of anything we have done. He forgives our sin entirely because of what Jesus has done. He forgives our sin because Jesus is the Lamb sacrificed on the cross. He forgives our sin because it is by Jesus' wounds that we are healed. It is this Jesus, this Lamb of God, that John the Baptist introduces to us. John introduces to us someone who is nothing less than the Son of God, but who is also willing to die on our behalf. That's a very big idea for us to get into our minds. It's telling us that the way God gets rid of our sin is by love, sacrificial love, the love that is willing to pay the greatest possible price to save our lives. Jesus' sacrifice is all we need for our sins to be forgiven. Jesus' death on the cross takes away the sin of the world. That includes our sin. Jesus has done it all. We don't have to do anything. We just have to believe it. We just have to believe that he really is the Lamb of God. Some people worry that their particular sin is so bad that God could never forgive them. Some people worry that they haven't done enough good things to outweigh all the bad things they have done. Some people worry that they are so impure and full of shame that they will never be acceptable to God. But Jesus has taken care of all that. Jesus has done what we could not do for ourselves. Jesus has taken the stain of sin away from us. He has shown us that however big our sin may be, God's forgiving love is even greater. Perhaps this is why Jesus is introduced to us from the very start as the Lamb of God. As we read through all the details of Jesus' life, and as we learn about the things Jesus taught, we view it all with this introduction in mind. In the end, everything we find out about Jesus all comes back to this. Jesus didn't come into the world just to tell us how to live our lives. Jesus didn't come into the world just to give us new ideas to think about. Jesus didn't come into the world just to amaze us with divine power. Jesus came into the world to be the Lamb of God who takes away our sin and brings us into the holy presence of God. John the Baptist introduced Andrew to Jesus. And Andrew immediately turned around and introduced his brother to Jesus. That brother was named Simon. Andrew went to his brother Simon and said, "We have found the Messiah." And then he brought Simon to Jesus. When Jesus saw him, he said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Peter." And Simon's life changed forever. But Andrew wasn't the only one introducing people to Jesus. Philip was doing it too. Philip went to Nathanael and said, "We have found the one Moses and the prophets wrote about." And Nathanael's life was never the same again. There's a pattern here, and it's a pattern that we are all called to follow. We are all called to introduce other people to Jesus. This isn't always easy. We're not sure how to do it. We're not sure what to say or when to say it. We're nervous about offending people or embarrassing them. We might even be afraid of getting into trouble for doing it. All these concerns are very real. But that doesn't mean we will never have the opportunity to introduce others to Jesus. In fact, that opportunity probably comes along more often than we realize. It's easy for us to get distracted. It's easy for us to think there are more important things for us to be doing. But when you get right down to it, there really isn't anything more important than this. Jim Somerville is a Baptist pastor in Virginia. He says that when he was just starting his ministry, he worked as a youth pastor. He says that in those days, he really wanted to have the biggest and best youth group in town. He did everything he could think of to get more youth to attend his group. They started their own radio station. They held the world's biggest kite contest. They would go to the amusement park on a regular basis. But one day it all changed for Jim. That was the day when he phoned one of the young people in the church to invite him to some special event. This young person said, "No thanks." He and his friend were planning to go to a movie. Jim says he suddenly realized that he could never compete by trying to give these young people better entertainment than they could get elsewhere. Jim says they had all the entertainment they needed and a whole lot more. And the only thing I could give them that they weren't getting everywhere else was Jesus. That, Jim says, is what he has been trying to do in one way or another ever since. May I introduce you to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It will change your life forever. Amen. Let us pray. O God, help us to see Jesus afresh as the one who removes the sin that separates us from you, and show us what opportunities we have to introduce other people to him. Lead us by your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.